You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
I made another win on the board. That's our 11th of the season, and that's four more wins than last year. And I guess we haven't been convincing, mind you, with our two wins in the last 2 weeks against the two bottom teams. A combined result of 10 points to the plus. So we actually won both games by a combined total of 10 points. So when you see West Coast play Fremantle and lose by 101 points, is there any real concerns that we should be having?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the issue, isn't it? We allow teams to play a style of game that makes them look like superstars, to be frank. And look, I do think that clubs do get up and about. They probably look at us and go, oh, look, we could be in for a win here. It's a long season for fans when you're not winning games of football. So you probably do look at teams that you think are a bit vulnerable and try to get yourselves up for that. They probably look at, you know, parts of our game plan and go, well, I think they're a bit gettable here. So, yeah, slightly concerning. But at the end of the day, we did get the two wins. And really, we've got no excuses now. We can't shy away from the fact that fate's in our hands. If we want to make finals, well, then we've got to work bloody hard to try and win the next couple of games. And it sounds like a bit of messaging has changed, James. I don't know if you've noticed that yourself in both Brad Scott's presser as well as Josh Marnie's, saying that, Brad Scott was talking about, you always plan for the future, but sometimes, that future that you plan for doesn't come. Like, the time on your hands is now. So whether that's a switch of message to the players to go, look, we're in with a shot now. It's on your shoulders if you want to, bring us forward as a club. So, which I'm all for. I know some people are like, oh, we'd get a better draft pick if we, drop the last few games. But I think, if you can make finals, you definitely want to make it and get yourself in with a chance. And as disappointed as I have been throughout parts of this season, Jane, regarding our play and our lack of ability to stand up in those big games, I do have a bit more faith in this list that we'd be able to give it a better shake than we have in the past.
Yeah, well, I just, there's a lot of inconsistencies in our team at the moment, and we can all recognise that. We look tired, I would say. Like, just don't seem to have the same energy. We're hearing that Draper might play this week, and I think he's a massive inclusion if he does, because he seems to, really bring the energy that our players feed off. If we can get a half-bit Jake Stringer who can at least run and turn directions, they will change directions, will put us in good stead to at least take it up to the Giants. And, mate, I have to ask a question. We haven't seen him for a long time. Is AMT, I guess in the next week, because, we've got one more week after this one, he's got a big decision to make. The club should be talking to him about what next year looks like. And, I've heard two stories. I heard AMT wants to continue and play next year. And then I've heard stories that, Essendon aren't open to that. So I would say AMT would get a send-off game if he was to announce his retirement, you would hope. I think the time is now. When you look at the subs, I'd much rather have someone like Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody, as a sub than a Will Snelling, just because of the impact they could potentially have on a game. And it just seems strange to me that we played him early when we knew he wasn't fit. He wasn't fit to run out games, but Brad had a bit of confidence to keep naming him early in the year. But then we haven't seen him have a good look at it. And he's done some good things in the reserves as well in the VFL. So, I'd be keen to have a look at him. as a small forward.
Yeah, I'm the same, James. Although for mine, look, I know, there'll probably be plenty of people who disagree with me, but I would be keeping Anthony Donald-Tippen Woody around on the list next year. I think he's got a lot to offer, both in terms of experience, the mentorship that he gives to the Indigenous players of our side, and we know Munkara is still very, very raw. Obviously, the Davey boys love being around him, but they're quite young and lean and have a lot to learn in their football journeys. So I think, I'd love for him to stick around because he's also got a lot to offer as a pure footballer as well. I mean, there's things that he can do on the football field that not many others can. His ability to sort of slow the play down and kick to a lead or even kick straight in front of goal. It is proven at AFL level. He's also got that nous for goal, to sneak a few every now and then. And for mine, I think he's still got quite a lot to offer, particularly when our small forward stocks still aren't brilliant. I know they're better than they were, obviously Menzies, but I mean, you still have the likes of Snelling and Guelphy vying for that position. I just don't see them as proper small forwards, James, as much as you love Guelphy and how he just throws himself at the contest. He's not a natural small forward, so I'm hoping it's not the case that we're not keen to extend his career, because I certainly think there's other blokes on the list that I'd look at potentially cutting first. But yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see him come on as sub. I think he can, provide a lot of impact. And I guess the difference with McDonald-Tippen Woody and others who've got in that position is his ability to play both ends of the ground. We've seen him play as a half back early in his career. And obviously, he can set up the play beautifully. We've seen him run through the middle of the ground and just create space, which is just awesome. But then obviously, as that small forward or even a forward flank, leading or kicking inside 50. He's a beautiful user of the footy. Well, I think, look, if he's fit, I'm sort of hoping the plan was to get him as fit as possible, so he could run out games the better because he was tired at the start of the year. I'm hoping that's the plan with a look to, see how he might, shape up for next year. Yes, that's my hope, but absolutely, if it's as the as a super sub for the last couple of games, James, I reckon he'd be definitely well suited for it.
Yeah, now one player we know who won't be continuing beyond this year is Andrew Phillips, who's announced his retirement, or he's going to head home to Tassie at the end of the season. And I saw a lot of his family members and there to support him on the weekend, and it made me wonder, was that a retirement game for him? I'm interested to see if he be named this week. Whether if Draper gets up, it'll be Draper and Bryan as the ruckman. So, yeah, just there was a large group of family members sitting in the players section or the players' family section, and I don't usually see them where they're seated near us. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that was a sign of maybe a conclusion game.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see it because I mean, personally, I thought he played quite solidly on the weekend. If Draper's not fit and ready to go, and even if Bryan isn't ready to play out full games, because he's a sub again on the weekend, or was subbed off rather, I would be all for chucking big flip into the fire again. So yeah, I guess we'll see what happens on the selection table, where there's games being played and all the rest of it. Because I think he's still got plenty to give, big flip when we need him.
Now, another departure for season's end that we know is Josh Marnie. He has announced that he will be resigning from his role at the end of the season. And it always surprised me that he's he did stick around for the year because he'd aligned himself with Xavier, Brasher, Rutten. And you know, he was able to work within, you know, with Brad Scott for this year. But there's been some much publicised dealings with Adrian Dodoro, and there's a lot of rumours there, mate, saying that Josh Marnie's tipped to be appointed in an AFL role next year. So he may be even in Brad Scott's old role. So that's to play out. It hasn't been named, but I believe there's rumours circulating that that may be the case. So if it is, I guess we can thank Josh for his time. And I was listening to Craig Vozzo before the game against North Melbourne. He was on radio, 3AW, after some criticism by them for our leaders not making themselves available.
Mm-hmm.
So to be, to see that Craig's obviously been made aware of that and then decided to go on the show was a good response, I think. Yeah. And he pretty much confirmed that Adrian Dodoro is a lock to continue in 2024.
Jeez, that's pretty big because, we're, 24 years in, James, or so his tenure? So
actually, I think he started back in 1996, now not as the recruiter, but, I think he even had a role in the VFL at some, in the... Mm-hmm. In the VFL space with the club. But, he's been with the club for, in excess of 25 years. So it's a, big thing for Craig Vozzo to confirm, but he was quick to say also that this was not a case of Dodoro winning over Marnie. It was just that Marnie made the decision himself. It wasn't Essendon saying goodbye, Josh. Josh made that call. And that they still had faith in Adrian Dodoro to build our next premiership list.
Jeez, that's a big call indeed, James, and I'm sure will cause the ire of many fans. Because you still have to question our list makeup, but he has made some good calls. Obviously mid-season draft picks and all the rest of it. All they can do is pick the players. He can't be responsible for the player development side of things. However, I think, most of us would look at the list makeup and think, geez, we're missing some bigger bodies, and things like that. But look, all we can do as fans is, voice our frustrations, but at the end of the day, back the club in, if that's the method of going down. And I'm hoping that's at the end of actually looking around, seeing what else is out there and, making an educated choice on that.
Yeah, and just some other snippets from Craig Vozzo. So he confirmed that Essendon presented an offer to Darcy Parrish they think is very fair and they're hopeful that that'll be agreed to in the near time. Also said that, and this is a funny comment here, mate. They asked him about the interest in Ben McKay, from North Melbourne, who did a little bit of a job interview, mate, on the weekend, really, showed his worth.
Yep.
But prior to the game, they asked him, had they had discussions with Ben McKay? It had been reported that we had. And Craig said this, he said, I won't talk about players that are under contract at other clubs. And then he followed that on by saying, but Ben's a player that we would like to have on our list next year, and we've had a good meeting with him. So it was a little bit of a, we won't talk about it, but we have spoken to him, and we'd like to have him on our list. So it sounds like that one is definitely an offer's been presented to Ben, and I guess that will play out as the season ends, but yeah, Ben got a close look at the side he could potentially join. And it'll be very interesting. But he played quite well, Ben, in his own right, and was a bit of a thorn in our side early, taking a lot of intercept marks and making a tough day for Peter Wright.
Certainly did, mate. He played well, and as you say, a bit of a job application there. So look, let's hope the offer's there. I know some people aren't massive fans of him, but there is a big need for a big key defender, Jane. I mean, look, as good as Zirk Thatcher's been this year, particularly, he's given up 20 kilos to Mackay and a bit of height, and I think. Yeah, we just saw Mackay go against 2 meter Peter, and 2 meter Peter, he couldn't really do much about it. So we do need that bigger key defender to take on the big gorillas, because as plucky as Zirk Thatcher can be, he just doesn't have the size to take on those big units. So I'd be all for bringing a Ben Mackay in.
Yeah, and we should reiterate that BZT's not even signed up ourselves, and there's other clubs looking at him. So we can't even bank that BZT would be there. Mm-hmm. In the likeliness that we got Ben Mackay, it might not be an issue for us anyway, because if BZT did choose to go back to Adelaide or, WA or even Sydney now, that Tom Barras has agreed to stay with West Coast. There's going to be options for him. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. And look, BZT's had a few goals kicked on him in recent times. We saw a Larky kick 5 on the weekend. So, yeah, we certainly need some assistance down back, regardless if BZT's staying, which I hope is the case.
I don't think it's a choice of either or. I think both could play well in the in the same lineup. They're different types of defenders for mine.
Just makes it easier. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. All right. Well, should we get into the game, mate? I went to this game with some trepidation because of the way we played against West Coast. I was hoping for a fast start our way, just to knock out that nervousness that I had. And let's just say sometimes when you ask, you don't receive.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Unfortunately, North Melbourne came out and they looked the team that was actually on at the start. And we saw Jaden Stevenson get a relatively easy lead up mark and go back to kick there first. And that was followed soon after when Ben Cunnington, the bloke who was playing his 238th and last game for the North Melbourne Football Club, bob up and kick one himself.
Yeah, and even though Essendon obviously has a much bigger supporter base, the North fans are up and about, especially on the back of Cunnington's goal.
Mm.
So we really needed to respond, and we got that response at the 17-minute mark, mate, when Nick Martin casually kicked a beautiful goal.
Yeah, it was sorely needed, mate, because they started off with the first two goals, and Nick Martin, he was getting really involved early, Jane. It was excellent to see. That bit of play as well, Jane. Like, he had 3 touches in that play to kick that first. I mean, like, a couple of handballs through the middle of the ground, and then kept running forward to take that mark in front and kick it through, which is, it was excellent stuff.
And as we see each week, we saw Kyle Langford. He kicked the goal, and, you can almost count that every week that it's going to happen.
Yeah, mate, look, it was a bit sort of touch and go for mine because, we saw Nick Bryan mark him in the pocket and sort of loop the handball over, and, Langford was squeezed right up to that point post, and he knew the contact was coming, but he did enough to kick it through to get us even Stevens, which is pretty important at that stage of the game.
And then the quarter finished with Larky kicking a goal and all that hard work that North had started the game with had paid off because they had a slight lead at quarter time.
Yeah, they did make that by the 5 points. They were kicking very straight. North, 3-0, 18 to our 2-1, 13. Sudan with five, but fortunately that didn't last long, mate, when we saw John Menzies come out in that second quarter and kick a nice goal.
Well, it was a beautiful goal. And just wanted to say too, mate, at quarter time, in a big surprise, Zach Merritt had one disposal. So Curtis Taylor had the job on Zach and completely nullified him out of his game. But yeah, as you said, Jai Menzies started the quarter great for us with that beautiful goal.
Well, mate, nice, clever little snap there, which you like to see. But unfortunately, then we saw Nick Larkey get up and about, and he was really testing Zerk Thatcher for athleticism, I'd have to say, reading the ball. But luckily, we weren't to be outdone when Kyle Langford bobbed up for his second.
Yeah, and another great start to the game for Kyle Langford. Two early goals. And we really needed him to do that because North were just keep coming back at us. And that continued as the quarter went on.
Good, mate. There was a massive collision in the middle of the ground between Hobbs and Simpkin. I don't know how either of them kept at it the whole game following that, because I thought Hobbs was nearly snapped in half and Josh Simpkin looked like he'd had half an arm. But he ended up bobbing up and kicking one, which was followed up soon after by another goal to Larkey. And it was getting a bit deflating before Nick Martin bobbed up and kicked his second.
Yeah, and Nick Martin was keeping us in the game, I thought. His run and carry, I think he was up around 18 disposals, going into halftime. So he'd had the ball on the string a bit, and to add two goals as well was great.
Was, mate. I've got to say, like that bit of play that got him that second goal, it was brilliant stuff from Zach Merritt. He was able to get the fist on a pretty lackadaisical kick out. And, from the very corner of the pocket, was able to squeeze that ball around to Nick Martin, basically at the top of the goal square to kick that one through. So excellent stuff there from Zach Merritt as well.
Yeah. North finished the quarter with a point to Paul Curtis. And, North had won two quarters in a row against us. And I saw Scooter's tweet out, in the last nine quarters, Essendon's won one quarter out of the last nine. So we knew things had to change. Was that a surprising stat for you, mate?
Yeah, well, it wasn't surprising. It was just disappointing. Like, because you thought, we haven't played many like real dominating quarters recently. We've probably had one that second quarter against West Coast, I think it was. And then played pretty lackluster since then. Certainly a lot of work to do in that second half.
We started that half in positive sense with Jai Menzies kicking his second.
Did, mate. It was very nice to see. To go back and sort that one. We saw North have a couple of chances. Fortunately, they were astray before Nick Martin got pulled down without the footy. Right on the boundary, Jane, and he was good enough from about, 35 out or something a very tight angle to kick it through the middle. It's a beautiful kick.
Yeah, he just threaded the needle with that, and it was a beautiful goal. But that was followed by a return goal by the North. LDU kicked the big bomb.
He did, mate. Which they followed up through Nick Larkey again for his fourth. Pretty soon after, and you're thinking, oh, come on, Bombers, you have to lift from here. But lift they did, Jane. We finally saw Peter Wright clunk one. He went back to slot it for about 40 out or so, Jane.
Yeah.
And then Matt Guelfi decided to bob up for a bit of a contested grab, if you don't mind. And he went back and and kicked it from a fairly tight angle, you have to say. It was a beautiful kick.
Yeah, and like the pressure was on Mac Guelfi. He'd had a quiet game the week before, and I thought he'd started this game pretty poorly as well.
Yep.
So I thought, yeah, that goal was really important for him. And Peter Wright, just, I don't know, he still seems a bit hesitant, mate, since coming back, you know, with the body contact. But he had another shot at goal, and he missed that. Something he'd usually kick, I think, in most cases.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. We saw a missed shot at goal as well from Nick Cox. And, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I reckon he would have kicked that. So who knows, maybe a bit of nerves getting in. But Peter Wright did bob up again from a really nice kick from Kane Baldwin. Kicked it to him almost straight at the top of the goal square there. Took a big mark and, yeah, went back and dobbed it.
Yeah, that was great. And of course, North would answer that with a goal from Jaden Stevenson. So, they love a red time goal, and they definitely got one at the 30-minute mark for the last term. The third term.
Yeah, certainly did, mate. And look, we'd taken back the lead, but they were still within a sniff, uncomfortably so, I'd have to say. So we were 10 goals, 4-64 to their 9 goals, 3-57. And they weren't going away anytime soon, Joan. Because it wasn't soon into that fourth quarter. Nick Lakely bobbed up for his fifth.
That was danger, 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 I thought. You know, like we're really struggling to contain him. And it should be said, what a great goal kicker he is, you know, playing for the second bottom team that's lost 19 in a row now.
Yeah.
And he's up there in the Coleman medal, you know. So I imagine he had a lot more looks. And this guy could kick it, you know, a huge amount of goals in future seasons if North can get their act together. But yeah, he was causing us a lot of problems.
It was, Jane. Now, we had a couple of opportunities up there end as well. We saw Carl Langford have a swing and a miss and a rush behind as well, but we kept coming. But we were a bit inaccurate, Jane. Yeah, there were shots on goal for Phillips and then Menzies, both of those missed. But then finally, we saw a beautiful bit of play where, Darren really had to, just go hell for leather at that ball on the wing there. He managed to collect the footy, advance up the wing a little bit and then just bomb it long. Bit of a chaos ball, really. Langford was able to, collect the footy, stand up in a tackle, get the hands out to Snelling. He was, basically dragged down without the footy, but then he ended up collecting it again, get the handball out to, Guelph, I think it might have been, got it out to Sartre. No, Parrish it was. Got it out to Sardis, and Sardis with his first goal on AFL footy kicked an absolute ripper.
Yeah, and there's great signs with Elijah. He looks like he's going to be a really key player. Like, obviously, his kicking power will get better as he ages. Some of his kicks are a little bit loopy, but you've got to remember he's missed a large chunk of his debut season. So I think there's a lot to like about Elijah Sardis, and he showed us a bit of a glimpse of what we can get, and that was a nice finish, in a really pressure cooker game.
Certainly was, mate, and we saw a nice finish soon after when Jack Zeeble decided he'd take a bit of a run up the ground. Now, he was taken to ground by Peter Wright and Matt Guelfi. It wasn't called holding the ball, but it bloody well should have been. But Kyle Langford, calm as you like, picked the ball up off the deck, chucked it on the left and put it through the big sticks.
Yeah, and we had a little bit of space finally, like we just looked like we were starting to head towards a victory. But as soon as I thought that, back came North Melbourne.
They did, mate. We saw a shot to Simkin, who fortunately missed. But then Ben Cunnington bob up and kicked a clever goal, which was followed soon after by Eddie Ford, who took a mark. In their 50 and went back and picked it. And there was still, 4 minutes to go at that stage of the game, James. And you thought, bloody hell, like, they could overrun us if they get up and about. Fortunately, we kept fighting. And, Dyson Heppel had a few big moments in this last 5 minutes, it's got to be said. There was that mark inside 50 where Look, if he had his chance, he might have, just gone back and tried to kick it straight rather than try to get that extra bit of distance. So that first one went out of bounds on the full. But then he butted up Jane, took another intercept mark, wasted a bit of time for us, kicking back, and then took another mark on the wing before entering it inside the 50, and enter Archie Perkins, who took a nice mark and a lead in the pocket, Jane. But I tell you what, mate, the thing I love about Archie Perkins is he wants the moment. And he just went straight back. There was no looking around just to pass it off to anyone. And just his run up to kick the goal, it was straight as a die. There was no moving right or left or anything like that. He just did the simple things, kept his body straight. And that's where the ball went, mate, straight through the big sticks, kicked a huge goal, like a lot of pressure, because they were only down by 3 points. If he misses that, potentially they've got a minute and a half to work the ball up their end for a bit of a fairy tale victory for Ben Cunnington. But he made sure of it, kicked it through. Tell you what, mate, the bloke's got ice in his veins.
Yeah, and look, he had a, I guess, yeah, he had a bit of the footy, but a lot of errors in the game. So it could have been easy to, be a bit down on yourself, if you know what I mean. Like, but he took a massive mark. That was a real contested mark, and and like right at the deathbed and of the game, and it was a massive mark and a massive goal. So. Well done, Archie. These kind of experiences will be great for him. Hopefully, when the whips are cracking in, as his career progresses with the Bombers and we get play in more meaningful games, hopefully, this experience gave him some confidence going forward.
Absolutely, mate, and that sealed it for us. And we took out the 4 points, so 13 goals, 8-86 to their 12 goals, 5-77.
Yeah, so a 9-point win, and look, two weeks ago, we knew we had a bad percentage, and we probably thought, look, if we're going to build up our percentage, it'll be in the next 2 weeks. I think we probably all thought that, but unfortunately, our percentages stayed roughly the same. Obviously, with only 1 point and a 9-point win. But that percentage was good enough to boost us up to ninth, mate, because the Giants got a little bit of a hiding over in Port Adelaide. And it'll see the two teams meet, the Bombers and the Giants, in what it really is, effectively, a little bit of a mini final, mate. Whoever loses is definitely not going to make the finals. And I guess that experience. We could look at that as a positive for our players to be in a game that means something so late in the season.
Yep, absolutely, James. Going to be a massive game on Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, are you going to head off to that game home?
I was looking at it, babe, but unfortunately, I can't. Family commitments. Keep me here in Canberra. But look, I'll be cheering the boys on as always. As you know, Jane, look, it might not be this season, but we've always, had a bit of a pact that if we do make finals, we have to go. So that'll stand. But unfortunately, can't make it to this one.
Yeah, well, we've been all to every Essendon final since 2004, and
Maybe
unfortunately,
that's been the problem, James. Everyone's probably telling us, "Bugger off, you bastards."
hey, there was one final we couldn't make it to, and that was the Tasmanian final against the Dogs,
That's true.
where COVID was on, and neither of us could travel. So there was a game, and I thought Murphy's Law, that would be the one we win, where we couldn't be there to see it. But obviously that didn't go to script either. But we'll just have to wait and see if the boys are good enough. But it sounds like, this week's match selection is going to be very interesting. It sounds like we're going to be making some decisions, wanting to make finals. And, I think that should be applauded as well, because the players at our club need to know, this is what do and die looks like. You have to really earn your spot, and I hope Brad keeps them today.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that should be reflected on Jamie, which I'm sure has been driven out of the club, is you don't play football for draft picks.
Yeah.
You play football, you know, for the pointy end of the season, you play it for finals, and ultimately you play it for premierships. Now, look, obviously, I don't think we're in that window, premierships, but that doesn't mean we can't give it a fair old shake. You know, make finals, hopefully break that curse, but it all starts with GWS on Saturday, James, and that's a job we need to get done. And if we're not good enough, well, yeah, it is what it is. But if we think, you know, we're a developing side, we want to be a strong side in the AFL, we want to be feared and respected again, well, it has to start with the Giants on Saturday for mine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a huge game and one, I'm sure all Essendon supporters will be watching with great interest. Mate, let's have a break. We'll come back. We buy the numbers and the Donscast medal votes. And you're listening to Donscast. And, mate, this week we know the VFL men had yet another bye, which I'm sure Paul Cousins must be hating because I think that's their fourth bye. Is that right, mate?
Yeah, I think that's right, mate. It's pretty rough way to try to schedule a season. Sorry, I imagine, geez, he probably would have had to spend time with his family or something, Jane. You sort of feel for him, but I guess that's the fixture of the way it is.
Yeah. Now, hopefully the AFL can sort that out because I know it's a VFL problem, but it affects the AFL team. So whether a team has to be reduced or even added to that competition, I'm not sure. But like, I just don't think it's viable to have four byes in a season, you know.
Nah.
Which is, you know, too higgledy-piggledy, I guess. But, mate, I believe our AFLW had a bit of a warm-up game in preparation for round one, which starts on the 2nd of September. So it's not far away, mate. Our first game against the Hawks again. We're in my hometown of Frankston, so that'll be interesting to see. We'll definitely be getting along to that game. But the season's nearly on us.
Certainly is, mate. I'm pretty pumped for it, to be honest. I mean, I thought we had a pretty good season last year, and you know, certainly this year we'll have George and Nanskeon back. After coming off that VFLW premiership and then doing her knee, she was out for the whole season. You thought, look, that was just a real tough break, like in every sense of the word there, and so it'll be great to have her in the side. Now, look, it wasn't the most successful hit out for us. Hopefully it's just blowing out the cobwebs and all the rest of it. But we did get some game time into plenty of our star players. So, among the best were, Alana Barber, Cutting, Bannister, Prasparkas, Bush, and Scott, obviously, two good, bobbed up for a goal as well. So, plenty of the ladies had a decent hit out there. You know, made Spark just looked up and about and said, look, that second half, we gave it a good effort. But, so we ended up going down to North Melbourne by a bit over five goals, so 32 points. Looked like a game of just two halves, Jane. I'm not sure the length of it, but... so we kicked the five goals 5-35 in the end to 10 goals 7. So, let's hope better for the run and, look forward to the season ahead because I'm certainly keen for it. I'm signed up, mate. Me and the kids, we're inaugural members. So, we'll go around again. So, definitely urge more Bomber fans to get on board if you're able to. And if you're that way inclined, because certainly they could use your support. And it'll be great to see the Bombers perform in September, Joe.
Well, that's right. I'm guaranteed, mind you. So, yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. So let's get to the next stage, which is by the numbers, mate. And we started with always when he plays Andrew McGrath, and I didn't think he had too bad a game himself.
Yeah, I thought he was solid without being outstanding. I thought there's a couple of times he really took the game on. That one particularly, I think it was in the fourth quarter, James, where he ran the ball up, brought up the wing, was pretty exciting. It's just what he can do. I sort of wonder whether he either doubts himself or doubts the back six to be able to stand up without him, to be able to have that, I suppose, freedom to take the game on. But no, I thought he did okay. I didn't think it was his best game, but certainly I thought he played fairly solid for mine.
Yeah, and he had the three tackles as well, which was important as well. Fairly good game. Darcy Parrish, again, played another big game, 33 disposals, 17 kicks, 16 handballs, 6 marks, 3 tackles, and it was vital, particularly with Zach Merritt being so well held.
Yeah, it was, mate. I thought he had a great game, Darcy Parrish. 9 clearances. He had something like, 12 or 16 even contested possessions. So he worked bloody hard with it. I thought his disposal was a lot better this game. Still went at, just under 70%, but I thought it was much improved. Had a couple of goal assists, to his name, which was really nice. There were a couple of times where he really opened the ball up, actually went through the middle of the ground as opposed to, just bombing along. So he seemed to be lowering the eyes and going for targets, which I really liked. So, yeah, mate, I thought he had a ripper of a game, Darcy Parrish.
Kyle Langford kicked another 3 goals to take his tally up to 48 for the season. 16 disposals, 5 kicks only, mate, which might surprise you.
Yeah.
Particularly when 3 goals, 1 of that was scores. So he only had 1 other kick. And 11 handballs, 3 marks, 1 tackle. But the 3 goals, 1 were vital in a close win.
Certainly were, mate. I thought he had a fantastic game, Kyle Langford. Up forward, yes, kicking those few goals and having a goal assist as well. But I thought there were so many times in that forward line where he stood up in a tackle or just used his body really smartly to make sure that we got the ball to our advantage, to get it to a someone in a better position. I thought he played fantastic for mine. And, he's nearing 50 goals, James, and you take that every year.
Yeah, and particularly when Peter Wright was down for so long, we needed someone to step up. And I think everyone would have thought it was going to be Jake Stringer would have to kick out bulk of our goals.
Yep.
But it's actually turned into Kyle Langford, and I don't think many would have picked that.
No.
But it's a great effort. Elijah Sardis, he looked more comfortable in game number 2, mate. He ended up with 23 disposals, 12 kicks, 11 handballs, 4 marks and 3 tackles, plus a goal, his first goal. Mm. And what was really exciting for Elijah, I think, is just his potential. He wasn't out of his depth going up against Sheasel and Wardlaw and that, and he's friends with those two. And you can see that, those boys were all picked around the same amount. And in the end, North decided that those two ahead of him were more important, but I don't think we've picked a bad one in Elijah Sardis, and it's great to see the number 5 running around.
Certainly is, mate. I thought, look, areas of his game where he needs to work on, his disposal, his kicking, with those sort of loopy kicks, but he was, given the faith from Brad Scott to go into the middle of the ground and, worked bloody hard, had 7 score involvements, which is pretty huge for a young bloke. Had 7 contested possessions. And, to kick that goal to top it all off was excellent stuff. So I thought a really good game from Elijah Sardis.
Zach Merritt, he was well held in the first half by Curtis Taylor. And, look, he was doing a lot of stuff that the umpire should have been watching, mate. He was getting his jumper pulled.
Yeah.
Nearly at every contest. But the umpires just let it go, which, again, you just want some fairness out of that. Why should a bloke be allowed to drag your jumper prior to a ball being in their vicinity? But he still ended up with 21 disposals, 9 kicks, 12 handballs, 2 marks, 9 tackles, mate, and that's the big thing about Zach that he's really added to his game. He leads by example in that field, and wonderful tackling. And if he's having a bad game offensively, he's doing everything right defensively.
He is, mate. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Like to have the 5 clearances, even with someone and hold on to your jumper the whole game, basically. I thought his pressure was immense. The limited times he did get the ball, he just looks a class above, as always. Like that one where he turned around the corner in the pocket to spot up Martin. Like, just brilliant vision, great execution of the kick. To have 2 goal assists to his name and to have that, I suppose, impact on the game, even from his relatively limited possessions, I thought was absolutely fantastic. So, I thought a great game from Zach Merritt.
And it should be said, mate, he still went at 86% efficiency. And you think there's a bloke breathing on you the whole game.
Yeah.
That should not be underestimated, how good that is, that you can still use the ball so well, despite having someone breathing on the back of your neck. So great effort by Zach. Ben Hobbs, he really stepped up, mate, in Zach being held well. Ben Hobbs, we saw this guy just keep getting better. And 29 disposals, 16 kicks, 13 handballs, 6 marks, 6 tackles. Really good performance from Ben Hobbs, I thought.
Was, mate. And, geez, he goes hard each and every single game. And, like you've mentioned a couple of times, Jane, he must really niggle the opposition because they were getting into him plenty, both with the ball and off the ball. I just thought he's a heart and soul player, Jane. I love that contest where he smashed into Simkin. Like, both of them had to go, and he absolutely went. And I think that's something, some of our other players could learn a lot from. That whole thing about when it's your time to go, you have to go, not shy away from the contest. There are a couple of plays. I'm thinking of that one in particular, Jane, where I think it was it might have been Guelphy. And
Perkins,
Zeeble just beeline the footy. They didn't want a bar of it, and he ended up taking it straight up their end, with no one to stop him. Basically, that's the kind of stuff you have to do to win games of football and to go contest by contest. And Ben Hobbs shows that week in, week out. Yeah, he's disposal could still use a bit of tidying up, Jane. But I think as a heart and soul player, I'm loving what I'm seeing. So, good game for Ben Hobbs.
Now, Will Snelling was our sub. He came on. He had 5 disposals in the quarter, 2 kicks, 3 handballs, no tackles and no score. But he did help, start us get his goal by handballing it out to Parrish. But it's hard for him to have an impact. I just don't think he's the kind of player that you want coming on as a sub. He gives his all. This is not a knock on his character or anything. I just think, you can't expect too much impact from a player like Will Snelling as a sub.
Yep, agree with that, Jane. I think he done okay. Not impactful as a sub.
Yeah. Nick Cox. He looked really good, I thought, in the first quarter of the game. Took a nice mark there, mate. And he's building his way back into the season. Like, again, he's coming from a long way back. He had the 12 disposals, 7 kicks, 5 handballs, 4 marks and 1 tackle. Also scored a behind where he probably would like his time again. But he's just working his way back in. So I think anything we get from Nick Cox is a bonus this year, and hopefully it leads to bigger and better things.
Yeah, I actually quite liked his game. Yeah, particularly that first half, as you mentioned, Jane. He showed a bit more of an aerial presence. Was able to read the play quite well at times. He's still, quite young, has a lot to learn, gets pushed the ball fairly easy, but he's showing a bit more toughness over the footy. To have the 12 disposals, 300 metres gained, shows he's definitely positive with his ball movement. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to him continuing to develop and hopefully having a big off season to attack next year. So I'd say a solid game overall for Nick Cox.
Jaden Laverty battled his heart out as always. He had 19 disposals, 13 kicks, 6 handballs, 7 marks, 2 tackles. As the defender, he worked really hard during the game and tried to provide some support because Zerk was under the pressure.
He was, mate. Look, I thought he was okay, Laverty. I suppose your typical Laverty game. So I'd say overall solid without being outstanding.
Archie Perkins, we talked about that match-winning goal almost, like where he took the big mark, went back and kicked the goal. I thought during the game he had a lot of errors during the game, again he's getting his opportunities on ball. So he had 20 disposals, 12 kicks, 8 handballs, 7 marks, 4 tackles. So he's doing the hard work and kicked the goal, but he used the ball at just 65%, and he had a few clangers there, mate. But yeah, I'm sure he'll work on those, and he's going to be a great player in time to come.
Yeah, he will, James. I've got no doubt about Archie Perkins. And look, I actually thought he had quite a good game. Despite some of those clangers you mentioned, I'm pretty sure that first goal from 2 meter Peter, was kicked to him by Perkins. He does have a knack to replay quite well, to spot people up the ground. And then just to have the composure. To make the right kick at times and then to kick that goal, obviously. Look, he's spending more time in the middle. I'm really liking what he's doing in there. And this is just this sort of development time we can get into him is absolutely gold because what he's got, James, is a point of difference over our other midfielders. He's got ability overhead and he's got a little bit more size than some of our smaller midfield brigade. I'm all for him spending more time in the middle developing there. And I reckon, it was another solid performance from Archie Perkins.
Nick Hine gives us plenty of run. He had the 23 disposals, 16 kicks, 7 handballs, 8 marks, and 1 tackle. Sometimes Nick can be a bit too attacking. He's going to play back on his opponent, but I still think he's been important for us in the last couple of weeks.
He has, James. Look, honestly, I thought he had quite a good game, particularly in the first half when our ball movement was a bit slower. He was one who was not only doing the defensive stuff, I thought his defensive game was much better than it had been in previous weeks to this game. But also to show that bit of run and carry, to have those intercept possessions was really good. So 8 intercept possessions, use the ball at 80%. So not horribly. Still had a couple of clangers in there, but positive ball movement again. So of his 23 disposals, 17 of those were kicks, and got us moving forward more times than not with 340 meters gained. So I thought he played quite a good game, Nick Hind, and well done to him because it would have been pretty tough at the start of the season when you're getting left out of the side. So he's worked his way back in and he's trying to make that position his own.
Yeah, now Peter Wright, I think we can say he's been a bit rusty since his comeback game against Carlton, where he just dominated, particularly in one quarter. But I mean, it's been really hard for Peter Wright coming back. I think he's got a little bit of confidence issues with that shoulder. It just seems from afar, anyway, he doesn't like going into contested contests. Whether he doesn't have the confidence in that shoulder or not. So hopefully he builds on that over the preseason, going into 2024. But he's still able to kick a couple of goals, took 5 marks, and again, he laid 3 tackles, which is pretty good for a big man.
Yep, certainly is, mate. I think those points are absolutely sound and valid. I'm sure he would love to clunk a few more of those marks. But at least he's getting to the right spot. I think he was definitely outdone by Mackay on the night. But to kick a couple of goals at the end of the day, and impact, with those tackles, as you say, was good. At least he's getting a bit of physicality out there, still kicking goals. So look, I'd say played an okay game, and yeah, with the hope of building more, with more games to come.
Dyson Heppel, you spoke about his importance late in the game. He had actually a lot less disposals than normal. He just had the 16 disposals, 13 kicks, 3 handballs, 7 marks, 1 tackle. But yeah, he was very important at last stanza. But he was fairly quiet. But he did play a very good defensive role, and that's probably what doesn't get picked up by the cameras always.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think it was relatively quiet by his standards for the last 5-6 weeks or so. No, I thought he was solid. But yeah, when the whips got cracking in that last term, Jamie, he really stood up. Took a few big marks, which is great to see. And then, kicked that nice footy to Perkins to get him that mark to have a shot on goal. So I think, he had a solid game hit, and well done to him.
Sam Durham, he's played really well, I think, in the last few weeks. And on weekend, he did well again. He had 22 disposals, 8 kicks, 14 handballs, 5 marks, 1 tackle. He only used the ball at 68%, but he did provide a lot of run and dash, and we needed that there during the game.
Certainly did, mate. I thought he played quite a good game. His aerial work was really good, taking a number of quite nice marks, but also his running power on that wing. I thought, it was just sensational. Had the 5 score involvements, so 5 inside 50s there. 8 contested possessions as well. So when he had to go, took his opportunity there. And, I guess that play that really, I suppose, surmised Sam Durham's game was that one on the wing where he just had to pull out all the stops to, sprint for that footy, win that footy, and, bomb it inside 50 to give us an opportunity for goal, which we ended up getting. So, I thought, quite a good game from Sam Durham, and again, another that I'm looking forward to seeing develop in years to come.
Nick Bryan, you go up against Todd Goldstein and Zeri, isn't it?
Zeri?
He obviously giving away a lot of kilos against guys like that. Had a lot quieter game. He had 7 disposals, 6 kicks, 1 handball, 4 marks. Took a couple of really important marks too. And 3 tackles, just the 10 hit outs, and was subbed out at 3-quarter time. We're just going to keep loading this guy up, giving him as much exposure as we can.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I thought it was quite a decent game from Nick Bryan. I thought he was giving up size to Zeri in particular. But I tell you what, he found Zeri out for agility. Like, Zeri looked a bit like Treebeard, James. he was a bit slow and didn't have as much agility, whereas Nick Bryan was able to get around the ground, take a few marks, which was pleasing to see. So, only played the 46% of game time, which I still question as to why, so low. It's another opportunity for him to get more AFL footy under his belt. So, I thought a decent game from Nick Bryan.
Kane Baldwin finally got his opportunity, was named as one of the potential subs, but on game day was upgraded to being in the 22. And he was important early too, mate. He had a couple of spoils that were really important. Only listed as having 8 kicks, which surprised me, but 8 disposals for 8 kicks. But some of those kicks were like laser beams, mate. And there was one goal that was generated solely off his kicking, really, where he kicked the ball outside of defensive 50 and then received again and then moved the ball up forward, which was fantastic. And it's great to see Kane get another opportunity at the senior level, and let's hope he holds his spot, which he should do for next game.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I thought he was really solid on the night. And just his hands, James. Like, he's so safe with them. Like, not once he looked like bobbling out, just, one grab kind of marks. And his kicking was so assured. Like, of those 8 kicks, 100% he went at James. And they weren't just, kick side to side for, half a metre gained. kind of thing. Like some beautiful kicks, like that one he drilled in the middle of the ground. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah, had the 238 meters gained from his kicking there. So yeah, that tells you he's been pretty attacking with it, had that goal assist at the end of the day as well. So no, I really liked his game. Yeah, I'm hoping for many more to come from Kane, because I think look, he done enough to yeah, to play another, and yeah, certainly I thought he showed a lot down back.
Mason Redmond, yeah, again, was very important. There was one mark there, mate, and we spoke about it prior to doing the pod, but where he just stuck a mid out and somehow held the ball, because if he hadn't have marked that, it was going to go to ground, and North were really punishing us for that. That was a huge mark, and yeah, he did some really nice things. He had the 24 disposals, 17 kicks, 7 handballs, 8 marks, and 1 tackle. A pretty good game from Mason Redmond.
It was, mate. Yeah, an absolute ripper. And, you know, it wasn't just the flashy things he did well, Jane. You know, he took a number of marks down back to, you know, stop some pretty attacking play from North. And I think, you know, really that's what we've been looking for down back, someone to stand up and take those marks. Yeah, so had the 6 intercept possessions as well as 6 score involvement. So he's doing it both ends of the ground, obviously run it both ways with 549 metres gained. Yeah, I thought it was great stuff. Used the ball well. So I thought he had quite a good game, Mason Redmond, and yeah, love to see it.
Jake Kelly, mate, I'm not sure about his position in the team at the moment. As I said to you last week, I just feel like you've got to make a decision of Tepple or Kelly. I think if you name both, it really hurts our side. He had the 11 disposals, 6 kicks, 5 handballs, 5 marks, 3 tackles, but they were playing him up forward and a little bit on the wings, and it just seems a bit baffling. You know, surely there's better players that are more suited for those roles. And Kelly's 28 at the moment, mate. I just don't feel like he's knocking the door down, and he only used the ball at 55%. So, really, to me, that's one that really stands out, that he's not comfortable in the position he's being asked to play. And again, it comes down to, you need to pick out a Pepple or Kelly and live with that. And you know, both players are senior players that should understand. And obviously, I can't see Heppel being dropped, but I think Kelly has to recognise where he is. And yeah, I don't think he should be playing as a forward wing in the AFL senior side.
No, I agree with that, James. Look, as much as we love him as a Dower sort of lockdown defender, playing him on the wing or playing him up forward is taking away from other blokes who play those positions better. And particularly when you're only going at 54.5% disposal efficiency, as you said, Jane. Look, it's not up to AFL standard. And his possessions were all uncontested, Jane. So zero contested possessions. And we know he's a fighter for the footy, Jane. He's not the type to try and go for a cheeky hand pass, around the side or outside of a contest. So he's not actually playing to his own strengths. So, look, I don't think we're doing him any favours playing in that position, and certainly not doing the team any favours. So I'll be with you, mate. If we're going to play him, you either play him down back where he's suited, or you bring someone who can play that position better. Because I tell you what, Jane, 2 weeks prior to that, Martin was playing a bit of a hodgepodge role, wasn't allowed to sort of play that wing role because that's where Kelly was. And Martin goes back to the wing and look what happens. So, a bit out of that for mine.
That's a really good point, mate. BZT had a tough day at the office, I thought, mate. Again, he always tries his hardest, so there's certainly no reflection on him and his efforts. But some days just don't go your way. And, he had the 9 disposals, 4 kicks, 5 handballs, 2 marks and 4 tackles. But he did have, 4 or 5 goals kicked on him from Larky, and did look a bit uncomfortable playing on Nick Larky.
Certainly did, mate. I thought he was fanned out, agility wise, and potentially a bit of speed as well. So tough day at the office, as you say, Jane. But Look, he'll dust himself off and come back all stronger next week.
Andrew Phillips, he had a good whack on his nose, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, was bleeding a fair bit, but obviously announced that he was retiring at season's end. And look, he had a quiet game, I thought. Yeah, he did well in the contest against Goldstein, which is no mean feat because obviously Goldstein's a man mountain, and Phillips provided some size against that. Had 5 kicks, 1 handball, 1 mark, 3 tackles, and 17 hit outs, and 1 behind. So, yeah, certainly wasn't a great game by Andrew Phillips, but he certainly was in a contest against the really, experienced ruckman in Goldstein.
It was, mate, and I think it's maybe it's probably easy to sort of say that, but I think his physicality around the ground was was great. Like taking those hits from Goldstein means that Bryan doesn't get snapped in half. It means that 2 meter Peter doesn't have to go up against a griller like Goldstein. It means that Nick Cox doesn't have to chuck his body up against that. So like the I suppose the massive benefit of having Andrew Phillips in there is he's physical enough to go up against these good blokes. And I think, look, while you have to say Goldie won that rack battle, he had to earn it, and he wasn't able to have his own game. Andrew Phillips made him earn everything. So look, I thought he played quite solid at the end of the day, despite the stat sheet. To lay a few tackles was great to see, as well as a few clearances, if you don't mind. So no, I thought he played well, the big bloke. I guess we'll see the last couple of games, whether he trots out again. But certainly, I reckon he's got a fair bit to offer. For the rest of the season, whether it's 2 games or more. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah. Now, Matt Guelfi, I thought he was really struggling in the first half. Credit to Matt, he really worked hard. He had 6 tackles, a number of smothers, mate, especially late in the game. So he really worked himself into the game. He had 12 disposals, 6 kicks, 6 handballs, 2 marks, and 6 tackles, as I said, with a goal. So I guess as a small forward, which can be like a bit of a dead man's alley, when the ball doesn't come in your area, like it's easier to be. Look at your stats and think you didn't do much, but I thought his defensive efforts were definitely admirable, and went a long way before us winning the game.
Yeah, they did, mate. And those big smothers, as you say, were absolutely huge, like two or three big efforts that lock that ball in our half. And you marry that up against his 6 tackles for the game. Absolutely fantastic effort. Because like you say, he did start slow, and I was thinking, geez, I'm not sure if he's actually performing for us. But then he stands up. Yeah, it takes that big mark, that sort of contested mark, and goes back and kicks the goal. Like that was a quality goal, James. Pretty tough kick. So he should be, lauded for his efforts there. Because one thing you will never doubt against Matt Guelfi is his effort or desire to throw the body at the footy. And he's even wearing a bit of a shiner. Just under his eye there, Jane. I thought he was going to run the old Nally Band-Aid under the eye, but no, I thought it was look, a decent game in the end from Matt Guelfi, and pretty important, particularly last quarter, as you say.
Well, I think the main player on the ground, mate, the one who really stamped his authority, was Nick Martin. Had 32 disposals, 19 kicks, 13 handballs, 6 marks, 2 tackles, and 3 goals. Really great game from Nick Martin.
Was, mate, it's fantastic. He ran the lines all game. Took a number of big marks, laid some tackles. Look, there was one tackle in particular game, Jane, where he and Redmond would probably like their time again. That was on Larkey,
Oh, yes.
where for one of his goals, where he just snuck out between them. We had to do better there. That was pretty deplorable, but look, outside of that, I thought he played an absolutely fantastic game. Like those goals were all all clutch, James. I know the first two were, in a lot closer, not much of an angle, but that third one was, unreal. Really at that stage of the game, plenty of pressure on us. And he stood up, mate, and kicked the ball beautifully. It wasn't just the goals, it was getting the other blokes involved in the play in better positions. So just an absolute ripper of a game from Nick Martin.
Player that had a tough game last week and held on to his spot and showed his worth during the game was Jai Menzies. Kicked a couple of goals, 11 disposals, 8 kicks, 3 handballs, 6 marks, and 2 handballs. 2 goals, 1 for the afternoon. And I just thought Jai, he's our second leading goal kicker this year, mate, which might surprise a few. So, as a player that came on as a rookie, or basically as a mid-season draft player, he's really done well. I think he's kicked 19 for the season, which to get 20 goals in a season is a wonderful effort, and he's only one goal away from achieving that.
I thought it was a great game from Menzies. I thought he might have actually, kicked the 20 or 21. So could be wrong there, but he's played like great all season, I thought, James. And like you think that's taken into consideration those games where he was dropped or come on as a sub, and he's been able to still accumulate that amount of goals for the season. I think it's a great credit to him. He's still quite young, so plenty of years ahead of him, and I think there's a bright future because those goals he kicked for us were were absolutely brilliant. Particularly that one, we sort of sharked it and kicked it from the pocket there. It was great stuff. So no, I liked his game. Jai Menzies, like, wasn't outstanding, but to kick a couple of goals as small forward was pretty smart work. So well done to him.
My apologies, mate. I think you're right. I think he's kicked 22 for the season. No, maybe that's right. Is that? Do you have that stat, mate? Because
I
I
don't
don't
have
know
it in
if
front of me,
there's.
but I just remember during the game I thought he'd kick the 21 or so, but
I think he's got 22. I don't know if that's his career total, though. So, it's hard to tell on the stat sometimes because,
yeah, it looks like he's
it's
kicked the
not very
20.
clear.
Looks like he's kicked the 20 so far,
So there must have been 2 goals from last year or something.
Kicked the one goal last year, so no, doing he's doing great stuff.
All right. So let's go to our votes as we always do. And mate, the Don's Cast Medal votes, yours as always goes first.
Beautiful. Well, first one might be a bit of a shock to some. I actually gave Hind a vote. I thought particularly early it was pretty important. Gave us a bit of run and carry, and I thought he's playing quite well defensively, so well done to Nick Hind. Two votes I went for Mason Redmond, though. I thought he was fantastic with some of that intercept marking and running the ball up the line. It was great to see. Kyle Langford, I gave three. 3 goals, one, as well as a couple of goal assists. Was fantastic stuff, and I thought his work up forward, just really smart how he went about it. I gave four to Darcy Parrish. Just a fantastic game from him. But the 5 votes, well and truly, had to go to Nick Martin. Brilliant game, 3 goals, had the ball on string at times. So, well done, Nick Martin. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
I don't think they need a drum roll for the best on ground. Thought Nick Martin clearly was our best. Darcy Parrish worked very hard. I gave him 4. I thought he stepped up under the absence of, well, not absence, but the pressure that Zach Merritt was receiving. He really stood up. Ben Hobbs, again, he was another one that just kept improving and throughout the game, and I gave him 3 votes. I gave 2 votes to Redmond. I thought he was important with his marking down back. And I gave 1 vote to Sam Durham. Apologies to Kyle Langford, but I gave 1 to Sam Durham for his run and dash.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'll tally them up, Jane. So if we go from the bottom, as always, so we've got 5 votes each to Wright and Perkins. 6 apiece to Durham, Bryan, and Draper. 7 to Setterfield, 8 to Wiedemann, 10 to Liberti, 11 to Phillips, 12 to Kelly, 13 to Hind, 14 to Caldwell, 16 to Zerk Thatcher, 18 to Scheel, 21 to Stringer, Heppel on 29, McGrath on 34, Hobbs on 40, Parrish on 52, and our top five, Jane, we got Redmond on 53, Langford on 55, Martin on 59, Ridley on 66, and out in front, our captain, Zach Merritt, on 84 Donscast medal votes.
Well, there's no surprise, mate. Zach Merritt's going to win the Donscast medal vote, or Donscast medal. You know, very prestigious award, as you know. But fantastic season for Zach Merritt. And, yeah, well done to the other players that really come up. And that top five again, mate, could you just read them out?
Yep, so we got Redmond, Langford, Martin, Ridley and Merritt.
Yeah, but, you know, five great players and Parrish just behind them. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We always like to see where our votes stand against the Crichton, even though it's voted on a totally different system. It has been pretty similar. I think last year was a few surprises in against ours, but, yeah, the previous years have been very similar. So, yeah, very interesting times. But, yeah, big game this week, mate. I'm, you know, thinking about it, just hoping that we can keep our season alive going into Friday night footy against the Pies. But we have to win this Saturday first. And until then, go the Bombers.
Go Dons.